Welcome to the Georgia Show. It's a raucous new year, Bill. I mean, the information is going fast and furious. We're going to try to get through some of it tonight. How are you doing, Bill? You hanging in there?
I'm fine. We've got drama that may unfold here in Georgia tomorrow. We've got folks that seem to be rushing to disclosure in various areas. It's kind of like, wow, is everybody just trying to get done with what they need to do and then be able to go to the inauguration? I don't know.
Well, we're going to try to get it through as much as we can tonight. May fall off the table till later in the week, but we're going to try. We're brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. Please sign up for our social media and our no-ad subscriptions. This is huge. We have ads on the sites now, all of them. I know people don't like sometimes having ads on your phone, but you can get rid of all that and support free media and save your grandchildren by signing up for our no-ad subscriptions. Get access to all 13 sites with no ads. Fantastic. People love it. We get new subscriptions every month, and we're really appreciative. We're appreciative of all our audiences on Frank's Speech, Conservative Daily, John B. Wells. We're going to hear from him a little later tonight in the show on a new product we're launching. But thank you for all our support everywhere. And we're growing, and CDM is going to be growing. So thank you for that. We had a fantastic event in Westport, Connecticut last night on the Ukraine war. Got a lot of attention, a lot of good feedback, and we're happy and thankful for everybody who made the trip. We had people flying in from all over the country to go to the event, so that was really interesting to see. I'll be speaking on February 10th at the Glynn County Republican Party lunch, so I'm looking forward to that on the same subject, which will be Ukraine. But who do we got today, Bill? What's the show going to look? How are we going to walk through this?
Boy, oh boy, we got a bunch of stuff. We want to talk about a couple different aspects coming out of the health side of the equation. We'll talk about what may be an emerging scare, if you will. We'll talk about how to really read the disclosures that you get from some of the health agencies. We're going to look at disclosure generally and look at some of the things that have just come out today and are due to come out in the next 72 to 100 hours. And see what those might foretell for the future. We're going to hear about some drama unfolding here in Georgia regarding one of the senators, Senator Colton Moore, that has stood up time and time again. He is part of the Georgia Freedom Caucus. And once again, he's got folks gunning for him, it appears. And we will talk a little bit about that. We hope that that does not unfold, but at present, it looks like it might. We'll talk about some of the things Trump, he isn't even in office yet, and he's already accomplishing things. What does that mean as we get closer and closer to inauguration? What in the heck is going to happen after he's in? So lots of great stuff to cover and probably more. And then we'll have a special request for folks at the very end of the show.
Interesting and looking forward to it. So, you know, Steve Jobs said if the ones that change the world or the ones that think they can or something like that. So Colton Moore is definitely one of those people. And where would Georgia be without Colton Moore? I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, he's the only guy that really has, there's others, but he's been the guy that's taken the lightning rod.
Charlie Spurd has been right in his wingtip, but he, you know, being a tall gentleman and, you know, and a forthright character and speaking on the Senate floor in many cases, he has an effect and a voice that is heard all across Georgia.
And we're going to continue to amplify that. It's going to be an exciting year, a lot of good stuff coming. I'm going to run a quick ad on a new product we're launching here at CDM, and we'll talk about it briefly after, then move on.
I'm watching my friends gain more and more weight. And then eventually, I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke. I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're right. Not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another. And I went, you know, forget this. We're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemist where nutrition specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional immune support product in the world. So we mix it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this, you take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
So, Bill, this is what it looks like. I've been on this for about a month now. My nails grow. I have to cut them almost every other day. And I had this like weird autoimmune thing on my back. It was there for like 8 months and it went away. So I don't know if it was this or just time to go, but definitely some interesting developments when you get nutrition.
That back sounds great. That sounds great. Well, congrats on that. So let's jump right in. There's reports now that folks are considering the possibility of multiple viral infections coming out across the population at one time. I think they're calling it a quad-demic. And what struck me, you and the team put together an article on this, but what struck me was, you know, we've seen a number of things come out in the past months. First, it was, oh, well, bird flu's coming, and, you know, there might be another strain of COVID, and then there's monkeypox. Well, then when monkeypox didn't catch hold, then it was mpox. And then we're back to bird flu, and then, you know, there's 66 people infected. Well, you know, most of them have conjunctivitis. So what struck me here was, is this yet again another attempt? In line with what we heard from Nick Holscher with the McCullough Foundation a few weeks ago, expect this kind of stuff coming up to the inauguration. Well, we don't know. We do recommend folks keep their eyes open and take reasonable precautions, as our sponsors at the Wellness Company recommend and Dr. McCullough has recommended. But again, I think what strikes me is it just the timing just can't be ignored again. So
you're right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to go through that. And then the other thing was, you know, what's coming next? Is it the zombie apocalypse? I don't know, but don't panic if it is. I'm sorry, I couldn't hold back. When I saw the thing, I was like, what's next? You know, really? Zombies? Okay, go for the head. You know that. So the other thing, I spoke to a group yesterday and have covered this in a couple groups in the last couple of weeks. It's very interesting, you know, Nick Holscher, Dr. Peter McCullough, and their team brings out things that indicate there's risk associated with COVID, with the vaccines for COVID, and potentially with other substances. And when you read the disclaimers from the CDC, if you don't read them very carefully, you might not understand what you're being told. And so I wanted to call out, this is a page directly from the CDC, pulled it off their website, and it says clinical considerations, myocarditis and pericarditis after receipt of vaccines. Well, when you go to read the disclaimers, here's the way it reads. Cases of myocarditis and pericarditis have rarely been observed after COVID-19 vaccination in the United States. And evidence from multiple vaccine safety monitoring systems in the United States and around the globe supports a causal association between mRNA COVID-19 vaccines, and then they call out Moderna and Pfizer specifically, and myocarditis and pericarditis. So the first half of the sentence says, well, it's rare, but then it says, they are associated with, and there's a causal, meaning cause and effect relationship. Isn't that astounding?
That is amazing. I mean, and the way they're trying to slip that out there is quite fascinating.
That's right. And that's the reason I wanted to call it out. I really want to encourage people, when they go to look this stuff up, don't just read the first part of the sentence. It's almost as if they're wordsmithing things so that you may not understand fully what's being disclosed. So the other one is down at the bottom of the page, and it says, though cases of myocarditis and pericarditis are rare, when cases have occurred, they have most frequently been seen in adolescent and young adult males within 7 days after receiving the second dose of an mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. However, cases have also been observed in females, in other age groups, and after other doses.
However, it also can happen anytime and anywhere else with anyone else.
That's basically what the sentence says. Well, it's rare, and it's most normally associated here, but it can really be anybody and anytime.
Yeah.
We're paraphrasing, obviously. We're making a little bit of fun of this. But again, we encourage folks really to read this stuff to understand precisely what you're being told. I think they're now reacting to us and folks like us who are calling this stuff out and making sure that they actually have data in these disclosures that's accurate. You just have to read for it. Okay, so that's one type of disclosure, if you will. The other types, and we're going to talk about disclosure generally, if we can, for a few minutes. There was a very interesting audio tape that was disclosed that seems to indicate now potentially a connection between JFK's assassination and LBJ, the vice president at the time, who then became president, and a connection between Mack Wallace. And I've just started looking into Mack Wallace's background, but what they're claiming here is that LBJ in some way organized something that resulted in JFK's assassination. One, I find it fascinating. Timing patterns, yeah, exactly. Again. We are 5 days away from the inauguration. President Trump and Elon and Tucker and others have talked about in the past months how important and how scary for the bad guys disclosure in various areas could be. What are those areas? Well, for many, one of the top ones is JFK's assassination. What really happened, and why haven't we seen the documentation for going on now, 60, almost 70 years? how could that possibly be? And then two, what else behind that? 9/11 perhaps?
Yeah, there's a lot more.
RFK's assassination, which RFK himself has spoken of, and other things. The UAP phenomenon, the drones, all this stuff. President Trump has already said that he anticipates being able to talk very quickly about the drones and doesn't understand why other people haven't disclosed it. He seems to be indicating they know what's going on. They just aren't talking about it. Why? We don't know. But we encourage folks to pay attention to this notion of disclosure and how folks in some cases are rushing toward that. It's very interesting that Kash Patel came out and in a podcast interview began talking about what they anticipate doing to make sure that people have access to this information that they're interested in. Listen to his comments about a disclosure office, if you will.
7 declassification office, whatever you want to call it. Transparency, truth, whatever, I don't care. Sits in the White House, reports directly to you, and you take incoming from the United States of America. I want JFK. I want the 9/11 files. I want this. I want that. All the FBI, and this is a tool, this is something we didn't cover. What the deep state uses the most to cover up their corruption is an illegal application of the classification system. Remember the Lovebirds text from, this is a beauty, the Lovebirds text from FBI, DOJ land, Russiagate, Strzok and Page were texting each other. They were running the Russiagate investigation against Trump. They were the head of the counterintelligence unit at the FBI. And they're having an extramarital affair together. Can't make this stuff up. They're sending each other texts about how much they hate Trump and are going to create an insurance policy to stop Trump. Then we finally find those text messages. You know what the FBI and DOJ do for like a year? Redact them. to congressional investigators and congressional men and women running the oversight of their agency. That's just one example. But it gets even better. Here's the deep state full circle. Just last week, do you know what Strzok and Page received from the Department of Justice?
What?
A $1.5 million payout to settle a lawsuit that Strzok and Page brought for the improper disclosure of their personal text messages on FBI phones. And the DOJ just rewarded them. They broke the law. They broke the chain of command. They broke every regulation there is in the FBI. They weaponized the system of justice against a political target they hated. We found those text messages. And we got them declassified finally in full when I became Deputy Director of National Intelligence. And the world has now seen them and they can read them. And that's the best form of transparency. That's why I want this 24/7 declassification office. Don't have me regurgitate it to you. Read it. Get the documents, get the files, get the memos. But the deep state came full circle and gave these guys a payday for rigging a presidential election and breaking the law. So now you know what happens. That's step one. Step two, get America the truth. And that's what that office would be for.
I have a funny feeling we're going to be hearing some candid talk when Cash is in his appointed seat.
I sure hope so. You know, I don't want to see any backtracking. I want done what they say they're going to do. So, yeah. You know, the Ukraine war is one example where, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about in the war in 24 hours. And then National Security Director Walsh comes out and says, you know, well, we want to maybe get the lower their draft age and bring in more troops and stabilize the front. That's not what we voted for. We want to end the war. Anyway, back to you.
Well, lower, as you say, lowering the draft age, they had already called upon many quite young members of the Ukraine population to join the ranks. And many of them, unfortunately, have already been killed, from what I had understand. And I think you and others had reported in past months. So the question becomes, how young are they going to go before they say, OK, we're out of people?
Well, the thing that people don't understand is, okay, they go through all the Ukrainian men. Who's next? It's your grandson. I mean, that's what's coming. And even the chief of staff of the Air Force, now the Joint Chief of Staff Chairman, C.Q. Brown, said, well, we'll get there eventually, meaning American troops on the ground. So this needs to end. Anyway, that I'll get off my soapbox.
No, that's fine. So Pam Bondi was one of the ones questioned today during confirmation hearings. And you can tell that these folks, there are certain people that they do not want in their slots. One of which we'll talk about in a few minutes is RFK. He's got a number of people pushing back, trying to keep him from becoming head of HHS. What is notable, though, is states and other agencies in some cases are already reacting to some of the reports that he's brought out. So, for example, some states have already enacted legislation to take fluoride out of their water because of, in part, I believe, because of some of the reports that he's made regarding the effect of fluoride over time on children and adults. In addition, red dye number 4, or whatever it is now on the verge of being banned. And so they're already reacting to it, yet they don't want him in that slot. Isn't that fascinating? And when Pam Bondi was being questioned today, lo and behold, I think it's Durbin that's posing the questions. He pulls out a card from about 4 or 5 years ago and asks her this.
But he also has said and done some things which are impossible to understand and justify. For example,
He's speaking of Cash Patel, by the way.
Are you familiar with something called the QAnon conspiracy?
I have heard of it, but I do not know what it is, but I've heard of it many times, Senator.
So let me tell you what I've learned about it. Its core belief is that a cabal of satanic, cannibalistic child molesters are embedded within our government and are conspiring against President-elect Trump. They asked Mr. Patel about it, and he said, quote, I agree with a lot that the movement says, end of quote. Does that sound like a good preparation to run the FBI?
Senator, I don't know anything about... I had heard of QAnon, but I've never heard that definition attached to it at all. You're going to have to ask Mr. Patel about those statements.
We will. And I'll tell you, until we get answers to those questions, I don't know many people on this side of the table will give him an unequivocal endorsement. This and his enemies list, what he calls his government gangsters, this is what you expect of Stasi. This is what you expect of secret police. It is not what you expect of justice in America, as you've even described it at the table today. So I would say this unequivocal support of Mr. Patel should at least have some reservation until he explains some of these outrageous positions he has taken.
I look forward to hearing his testimony about QAnon in front of this committee.
You will.
So his reaction, over and above the subject of the question, his reaction was fascinating. He said, oh, this sounds more like, you know, and he seems to infer that it's some sort of, oh, it's more like, you know, secret police kinds of questions. And, you know, you know, he has no business calling it government gangsters. Well, wait a minute. Given what we've found out about the money going to places like Ukraine, and given what we found out about things like the FBI having infiltrators in the J6 crowd, and given some of the other disclosures that are beginning to happen regarding potential sound weapons being used on civilian crowds to cause certain reactions, what would the questions be? Because it's been various agencies and individuals and groups within the government that have been doing those things.
I look forward to his testimony too, Bill. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. But what is interesting in the meantime is we have to sit back and say, well, these are serious problems. So when people push back, are they pushing back because they really think it's improper? Or is it because they're afraid of what's going to come popping out of the secret sack? I think it's because they don't want it popping out.
The latter. Obviously.
It's interesting. I've been in a venue where, and Lindsey Graham, by the way, was one of the ones that's come out and said he won't support, I believe he still is on that stage, won't support RFK. But more importantly, I had the chance to actually ask Senator Graham about the January 6th events a couple of years after they happened. And his reaction was remarkable to me. One, he did admit that was just after some of the disclosures were coming out that Pelosi may have known certain things earlier than J6 and made some poor decisions about that. And so his reaction to my question was, well, we should, I believe we need to know more about what Pelosi knew and when she knew it. However, the second part of the answer was, but I believe anybody came in the Capitol needs to go to prison. And I thought that to be an astoundingly flawed answer, given even what we knew back then. The videos were already beginning to leak out, showing people standing in the, you know, the velvet cordons and so forth. And yeah.
Well, have you seen all the videos that are coming out now where they're agitating the crowd, shooting over their heads, firing into the crowd with rubber bullets? All of that is coming out.
Right. And I believe it was True the Votes video that they had produced that showed that they some of those actions were prior to or contrary to engagement rules of the Capitol Police. They're supposed to do certain things, issue certain warnings prior to taking action. And I believe we're going to, as the full measure of all the facts comes out, I think we're going to see that in some cases they didn't follow all the engagement protocols that needed to be done.
Well, that's obvious. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to come out across the board. How can you not call them gangsters when they're looking for, you know, agitations, trying to start a insurrection or whatever you want to call it, and putting people in jail with no due process, torturing them, solitary confinement. I mean, go down the list. What else would you call these people?
That's as good a name as anything. I mean, you could delve into some expletives if you needed to. Yeah. Perhaps we should take a break and hear from one of our financial sponsors.
Yeah, David Cross is our guy. So if you are having a change of life, as in divorce, death, sale of business, some kind of monetary event, give David a call and let's run an ad from David.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Back with you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So many folks will, at this point, they're getting a little weary of hearing about the fires, yet the fires continue to do devastating damage in LA, and it's actually in some ways continuing to get worse. But in the middle of this, there was an odd report that came out in the last 24 hours or so, and it harkens back to our reporting that we did on the Maui Lahaina fires back last year. Let me pull this up. This is from the Associated Press. It's one of the reasons that it caught my eye to begin with, because the Associated Press often is one of those places that you almost don't expect to see full disclosure or full candid news the way we might bring it forward. But they reported that a blue VW van, one of the old Vanagons, I guess is what they call it, miraculously survived the Los Angeles fire, and they have a picture of it from far away. Then I found, as you go back in, you can find pictures of apparently the owner, looks like a California kind of guy, and his dog next to this thing. You can't ignore the fact that, once again, we're dealing with something colored blue. And if you were paying attention back during the Lahaina fires, we did extensive reporting on the bizarre fact that in various areas around Lahaina following their fires, certain blue items were left unburned. One of the most notable, because it is flammable, are these umbrellas. And they were out in front of, I believe, the Tommy Bahama shop and store, and I think they had a little, there was a little grill or cafe next to them as well. But you can see the pictures here, and if you go online, you can find quite a few more of them. And then there's pictures of gas cans and some cars left around Lahaina that seem to be,
mailboxes
as well, yeah. That seem to be less burned. Not in all cases completely unburnt, but I mean, you would think that canvas, given the extent of the damage that you can see around here, that melted steel, burned wood, melted plastic, you know, canvas should be one of those things that could burn up pretty easily. Yet it didn't. Are we dealing with something other than the fires as we expect them to be? We don't know yet. We don't know yet, but
interesting that van has a white top. I saw that. That just throws another wrinkle into the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a number of things that just don't seem to make a lot of sense. Could this be, could it be in some way staged for some reason? We don't know, but it is notable, and you can't really ignore it. Now
as you mentioned before the show, that a mainstream media outlet's putting it out. That's of note as well.
That's true, and that could be, you could take that one way or the opposite. Just tough to judge. It happens that I did enough work on Lahaina to know that this street, if you follow it down another half a mile or a little bit less, it's Front Street, and it comes to an area where there's a number of cars that were abandoned because people were trying to make it out of town and were because of traffic jam or disabled cars, weren't able to do it. And there's a number of cars down there, one of which is some sort of blue car, blue painted car. And it is much less burned than the cars around it. And it's just down another few hundred yards or quarter mile or so forth. So we don't know. We're going to keep an eyeball on this. People are looking at it. They're taking it semi-seriously. But there's so much movement in these fires that they're now, you know, concerned that if it continues to move to the east, you're looking at areas of town they had no clue would ever be engaged in this. Yet it seems to be threatening some areas of town that it may continue to move towards. So we'll keep
on. He had Newsom's words that he wants to, you know, build LA 2.0, which sounds like some kind of plan in place. It's just bizarre.
Well, could it be another one of these, you know, what they were calling 15-minute cities? Is it? There's also a map of a planned fast railway system that happens to overlap many of the areas that have now been burned. Now, how that relates to all of this, again, we don't know, and we're not going to guess, but it is, you know, can't be ignored, I guess, is one way to put it.
Good find.
Okay, let's move on to Georgia, if we can. So we talked about Colton Moore and the fact that he has stood up, a number of times now. The first was calling for Fannie Willis's office to be defunded, two, for her actions to be investigated, because it seemed that she was acting with an incredible amount of avant-garde decision-making to bring the charges against Trump and the other defendants in following her grand jury case. Now it turns out that John Burns, the Speaker of the Georgia General Assembly of the House, is threatening to have Colton Moore arrested if he attends the joint session tomorrow between both the Senate and the House of Representatives. And this is so serious that Senator Moore has responded in writing with a letter that my understanding is that an attorney either wrote this or assisted in its creation to call out specifically the concerns about any of this. If you stand back, you need to understand that Senator Moore is elected by his constituents in his area of Georgia. They call and count on him to fulfill his duties under the Georgia Constitution. One of those is to attend appropriate meetings, including this joint session, which is part of what's called upon and very frankly, the duty is required by the Georgia Constitution. So what would it mean if the House, the leader of the House, John Burns, prevents him from doing that? Is that a crime? Is it illegal? It certainly is keeping his constituents from being represented at a very important meeting at the beginning of the legislative session. What could this all mean? Well, those are questions that I think will pop out if this continues to escalate into tomorrow. More importantly, how did this come about? What is it that's got a B under John Burns' bonnet? Well, again, Senator Moore last year spoke up on a particular day when they were House, and I think the Senate as well, were honoring, if you will, the past leader of the House, David Ralston. Now, unfortunately, David Ralston has a history of making certain things happen in his private practice that even the AJC has written about. And so it's not just us, and it's not just Colton Moore or anybody else that's calling these things out. It is actually the AJC and other publications, including local television, that have called into question some of the things that Ralston did during his tenure. One of the most important was he was an attorney and handled a number of criminal and civil cases, I believe, but these have a tendency to circle around criminal cases. And during his, I believe it was enacted during his tenure, or just before, there was a law that allows the speaker and certain other members of the legislature to cause a continuance in any case that they happen to be involved in, claiming that their responsibilities in attending the legislature outweigh any given case, and so they can force a continuance. What would happen, though, if in order to push a case off, such continuances were used again and again and again and again, to the point where either, you know, folks ran out of patience, ran out of money, ran out of time, something happened to witnesses or plaintiffs or others. And that's one of the things that began causing questions surrounding Ralston. Now, we don't know all the facts. We're going to report on more of this in the coming days. But many people called out the fact that, and I believe one of the articles that I read earlier today, called out the use of that capability of causing a continuance over 1,000 times mm-hmm. by David Ralston. Now, imagine what that would mean. That's not in just one case. That's over a number of cases. But still, every time you have a continuance, you're pushing things off for weeks, maybe months.
Well, it's also, you know, an indictment of the justice system and the bar, right? I mean, they allowed this to happen.
Well, certainly you have to question the legislature in terms of, you know, why would they put such a law in place and make it so that certain people could take advantage of it. And in fact, since then, there's been a push, and you see it here, as reported by 11 Alive, that they've considered having a different bill that would tighten up the restrictions on how and when legislative leave, which is the term they use, could actually be used. And so they call out again here, this is a power that the Georgia House Speaker had been accused of abusing. What's been the effect? Well, if you read through a number of the writings that folks have put forth, perhaps people have been unable to get justice in their case as a victim, in some cases as bystanders, in some cases as trying to get recompense or other things. So we don't know all the different details, but imagine if you're a victim of a crime, and because things kept getting continued, you could not, and ultimately maybe did not, get justice. How would that feel? What would be the effect of that? And so that is at the net question of this. And,
well, and it's all the people around him that obviously knew this was happening and didn't do anything about it as well. So, and that's the media, everything.
Well, sure. And this goes back to, you know, when you are the one standing up calling these things out, all of a sudden you become the target, which mm-hmm. seems to be what's happening in this case between Colton Moore and John Burns. You know, John Burns doesn't like what Colton Moore had to say about this, but the record is recorded. You can see Senator Moore's comments. They're on video. And he simply calls out the same things that these articles are speaking to. And very frankly, did it on a day when they were trying to give, you know, kudos and victory laps to David Ralston, who unfortunately passed away several years ago. But the bigger picture is, you know, do you honor somebody that seems to have use their powers to evade, perhaps, potentially evade having cases move forward? We don't know. We can't prove that today. But that's what some of these charges that 11 Alive was talking about and AJC is talking about, that's what seems to have caused them to write in the way that they did about the concerns here. So we will see what happens tomorrow. I think we may need to, you know, depending on how this plays out, we probably need to delve deeper into Mr. Ralston's background and what actually did happen and the number of times it happened and to whom it happened, and bring that out so that people can fully understand the nature of the comments and the writings that have already been made, and understand what transpired and maybe didn't transpire that perhaps should have. So we're going to stay on this. We will see what happens tomorrow. My understanding is a number of folks are going to be at the Capitol to observe what goes on, and we'll report it as it comes forward.
So this is kind of a pattern emerging, right, Bill? I mean, disclosures coming and then people trying to stop them, you know, just nonsensical actions. It almost looks like desperation to stop things from coming out.
Well, it's either that or in some cases people are theorizing, is this, are some of these things meant to re-spin what is going to be disclosed and make it look slightly different? Or to put a question mark in front of what later is disclosed. There's no way to tell yet until we see what the facts are. But just like we do, I mean, if what I suspect is going to happen, you know, you listen to Cash Patel, and what I would expect him in this disclosure office to do is bring things out with the receipts right from the get-go so that folks can be assured that they understand what the context is, what the facts are, who is involved, when they were involved, everything they need to know so that there is no more of this, you know, fake classification of certain information. If they do that, then any of these things that are popping out now that may be meant to re-spin things in some way mm-hmm. will probably fall by the wayside, is my expectation.
Interesting. It's a day-by-day interpretation of events that we're going through now.
It is. Perhaps it would make sense to take a brief break and hear from our folks at Wellness, since we were talking about health earlier in the show.
Yeah, you can run the Dr. Victory ad. Do you see that?
Bear with you for a minute. I probably can get down to it.
I have it, Bill.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, in the case of hydroxychloroquine and mm-hmm. ivermectin, mm-hmm. these are two medications that have been FDA approved for use in humans for decades. Mm-hmm. They are very, very inexpensive. Interestingly, available over the counter in almost every other country other than the US and Canada. Yeah. You can just walk into a pharmacy and buy them like we buy Tylenol in much of the world because they're that safe. And we've known for decades that ivermectin has very strong antiviral properties. It has anti-inflammatory properties. And both mm-hmm. ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are what we call zinc ionophores. They help to move zinc from the bloodstream into the cell, which is where it needs to be in order to fight off a virus. So lots of application for these. And we have every reason to believe that those drugs also will likely have some efficacy against H5N1 or a number of other respiratory viruses that we may meet down the road.
Let me just say, this is the emergency medical kit. There's several of them. This is the contagion kit, which has the nebulizer in it. You know, prepare your family. It's really important to make sure you don't have to go to the pharmacy to get drugs in case of some kind of emergency. We're in a very tenuous time here. TWC.health/CDM for our audio audience. Promo code CDM, you get 10% off. This is the ultimate spike detox program. If you have somebody who's been vaxxed and you're worried about them, put them on this for, you know, I think the 6 to 8 months and work on cleaning out their blood and cleansing the system. Back to you, Bill.
Again, I just spoke with some groups this past couple of weeks specifically about that. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and review both our articles on georgiarecord.com regarding the increase in cardiac arrest and resulting death that had been reported by the McCullough Foundation, Dr. Peter McCullough has come up with that spike protein and explains exactly how the preparations in there and even some things people, if they had to, could get over the counter can help break the stuff down and get it out of you. And it is critical. I literally have gotten to the point where in almost every group I speak with, I ask them specifically, think about all the people you know that, you know, that have taken one or more of these jabs. And understand that it may still be working on them in ways that are creating ongoing problems. And don't you owe it to friends, to family, to those that you know, to help them get rid of it. And that's a great way to start.
And it's also the shedding from the COVID. Everybody's, you know, I was talking to one of the docs, everybody's had COVID likely multiple times. You may just not have realized it. And that impacts your body also. So if you've got some weird stuff happening, autoimmunes, insomnia, long COVID symptoms, you know, maybe this might be helpful.
Yep. Yep. So let's go back for just a moment and talk about how desperate some of these folks are to stop Trump's appointees. One of which is very interesting, Richard Blumenthal, and he was challenging Pete Hegseth on his experience, his wherewithal. You know, they're focusing on actions and behaviors associated with Hegseth, you know, in some cases 20 years ago. What was fascinating is someone brought up the fact that Blumenthal himself has a very bad Achilles heel in this. He was challenging Pete Hegseth, saying, you know, he wasn't being forthcoming about some of his actions, some of his behaviors. And yet Blumenthal is on record for talking about his time in Vietnam, mm-hmm. but he was never there.
Yeah. Da Nang and Dick.
So, huh?
Da Nang Dick, according to Trump.
Yeah. So I thought we'd listen to that.
Something very important since the days that I served in Vietnam, and you exemplify it. Whatever we think about the war, whatever we call it.
So it's a short clip, but you know, any chance to help Mr. Blumenthal have a better memory, I think we ought to take advantage of it. You know,
yeah, he's a class act, in quotation.
The back of the class. Mm-hmm. let's see. There's let's talk about Trump and what he's accomplishing. Astoundingly, he's not even in office yet. Yet there's progress being made pretty much just as he had foretold. If you recall, back during the campaign, he said, you know, I can make some phone calls and I may be able to solve some of this stuff before, you know, we even get to the 20th. And darned if that doesn't seem to be occurring. He announced here, it's a little small to, you know, to read, but he talks about an epic agreement to essentially cause a stand down in the Gaza and Israeli conflict. I mean, how many months? This has gone on a year and a quarter now. Is that correct? And yet, you know, he's able to make progress and announces a potential resolution to the hostages still being held as a result of all this. Isn't that amazing? How is it possible that that could occur in such a short period of time when people have claimed that, oh boy, we can't? I know you've written about some of this as well. I bet you have some thoughts here.
Yeah, so people need to realize that the Israelis didn't get what they wanted here, which was to expand into northern Gaza and not release a lot of terrorists. This is not to their liking. And so our audience needs to understand that when you're talking about settling a conflict, you don't settle it by just, you know, giving everything to one side. So this is the net result is the fighting will stop, at least for a period. And we'll see how there's different phases to this. There's going to be about 36 hostages released, I understand, with about 24 that are still alive. And then that's not all the hostages. There's still more there. And so there's different steps you have to go through to get to the final parts of the deal. And a lot of the Israeli journalists and officials and nationalist, you know, mouthpieces in Israel are not happy about this. So we're going to see how this goes. But yes, to your point, Bill, he did end it. And that's fascinating.
It is hugely fascinating. And of course, one of the most important things is it'll resolve. The hostages look like they're going to be resolved very quickly as well. We can only hope and pray that similar things will happen expeditiously with regard to J6 and, you know, and others, you know, other cases where people appear to be being held inappropriately. And here he announces the hostage situation. So the other thing that many people are looking at and just having a fun time with is his announcement of this. And he many understand that he is focused on the way that the federal government was paid for back before we had income tax. It was paid for largely through tariffs and other means. And so he's announced that he's starting the External Revenue Service to collect tariffs and duties and any revenue that will be coming in from foreign sources. And so clearly, when you think of America First, this appears to be one of the ways that it's going to produce economic benefit for real Americans. And as opposed to focusing internally and saying, well, we have to pay for everything, including all this support that we apparently are sending to countries around the world. This is a way to get other people to support us for a change and pay their fair share, as he says here. So this should be fascinating. I saw a lot of people say, well, gosh, between this and, you know, no taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security benefits and several other things, what is the world going to, what is the American world going to look like as we get further into this? And it just seems to feel fascinating, I think.
Well, people need to understand how much this is going to change our entire economy and the way we function as a society. And I think it's fantastic. Let's go. I mean, let's just, you know, have more freedom, which getting rid of the internal revenues will, or at least reducing them, will go a long way to do that.
Yep. The other thing I will suggest to folks is that as this begins to go into effect and you actually see the gears begin to turn, some, I and others anticipate, are still going to push back. Oh, this is a bad idea. This is going to cause this. This is going to cause that. And I think we need to stop and recognize that, just like we're seeing these people push back on Trump's appointees. You know, back when Biden had his appointees, they had to do all kinds of unusual mechanisms to be able to get some of them into office because, very frankly, they didn't meet, in some cases, the qualifications. That was called out in a number of cases, one by the Oklahoma senator today during hearings, that they made accommodations for Biden's appointees in some cases, yet they seem to be looking for every way possible to take some of Trump's appointees and stop them. So those people that are doing that deserve a big, you know, big bright light on them as we go forward. And the question needs to be asked, why are they so adamant in stopping this before we even get going?
Obviously, they don't want the scrutiny.
I think that's right. Again, it goes back to what Tucker and now Cash have said is one of the biggest problems, disclosure. They want to keep stuff behind closed doors, behind Oz's curtain, and not have to have it disclosed to the public. One final area, I didn't get a chance to really cover this and talk about it on our last show, but I did want to put it in people's minds so they can go do the work and look at it. There was an interview between Mel Gibson and Joe Rogan this past week, and we've said time and time again that certain people seem to be acting in the role of truth tellers. They bring out things that we need to know, but it comes from an unusual place. It comes out of an unusual interview. We've talked about Tucker being one of those, Vivek being one of those, Elon being one of those, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones occasionally, and now apparently Mel Gibson. And he said something that many people have indicated a discomfort with, some of the actions of their religious organizations. And Mel talks about this briefly. I just want to play this as we begin to close.
You know, when they appoint some cardinal in some diocese and he's been covering up for, like, people who are child molesters.
Yes.
Or, you know, like Theodore McCarrick or Cardinal mm-hmm. Wuerl or those kind of guys. I mean.
Or the Pope.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm
Benedict.
Not Benny. Well, he was covering up, but, like, yeah. So is the guy now.
And, is he really?
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
I thought he was, like, the more progressive Pope.
Oh, he's very progressive, yes.
But he's covering up for stuff as well. Well, yeah. they all are. I mean, it's a dark institution in a lot of ways because its history Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know, the institution, it was instituted by Christ, you know, but that doesn't mean that it can't be flawed. And there's a school of thought that says it isn't what it purports to be anymore. It's moved away from what it was intended to be and what it is. Almost, there's a guy called Bishop Vigano who says it's a counterfeit parallel church, and it's running an entirely different religion.
So that'll give people a teaser, and I would highly recommend that when you get a chance, go to Twitter or to one of the other platforms and view that entire interview. It's a little lengthy, but he brings out several different interesting areas. The church is just one, but he talks about ivermectin and some other things. So again, another truth teller popping out of thin air. So there you have it. You're still on mute, Todd.
Excellent show. We'll see you Sunday, guys, and we'll look forward to our inauguration coverage as well.
That's right. Bear with me for a second while I get back up to where we need to go, and we will see you next time.